and good morning, Tom. It is coffee time. Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning, and it is April 5th, 2016, and we'll be right back after the song.
Faith in God, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with inalienable rights of life and precious liberty, the pursuit of happiness. On these we now take aim and set our sights. Like sleeping watchmen on the wall, we have failed to heed the signs of usurping foreign powers within our land, letting fraud, deceit, and usury be the curse of these hard times. Now won't you heed this wake-up call and lend a hand and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. In the spirit of our ancestors who refused to live in chains, we now must cast our eyes on liberty's light. For the blood spilled by our forefathers still flows within our veins, and we shall not live as slaves without a fight. Like soldiers, we must stand and face this enemy within, and do what we must do to seize the time. For in order to defend and exercise our liberties, we now must place our liberty on the line and be a part solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. Be a part of the solution and restore.
Rout all those traitors right out of our system.
The Second American Revolution today.
And we are back. And if I can hit the right button, I'll bring the other men on the line. Good morning, Will.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And, man, thanks for being here. We're going to start off by going to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for this opportunity to be here before you. And, Lord, we just ask that you guide us and direct us in this program, that you help us to be a good program, and that you assist us and give us a working of the Holy Spirit in the direction that we are supposed to go. Lord, we come before you, and we just ask, Father, that you protect us. We pray, Father, that you protect our church, this ministry, each and every one of our families. Lord, we pray, Father, that you just put your angels about us, put a hedge of protection around us, a shield of light, a ring of fire that no evil can penetrate in any way, shape, or form. We pray, Father, that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men and the schemes of the devil and the power of the dog and all the forces that would come against us in all ways, shapes, and forms. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask that you just do a mighty and an awesome work. We know that the enemies conspire against us in many ways, shapes, and forms, and we just pray, Father, that you just deal with them as you see fit. We bring them before your throne, and we declare them powerless. And if they continue to come after us and to attack us, Lord, we just ask that you deal with them in a mighty and a just way. If they continue on their path, we pray, Father, that they are pounded and pulverized and destroyed. We pray, Father, we lift them up to you, and we put them on notice that if you come against us and you attack us, that you will be brought down. We deliver you over to the hands of the Most High, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, there is definitely a lot of things to going on and a lot of things to talk about. I'll open it up, and do either of you men have anything that you want to start off with?
Just go.
Well, there's I figure we'd start off with some stuff that's happening across the country first, around the world. Israeli airstrikes in Beirut kills a bunch of people. I seen that. What do you know about that, Will?
Well, it sure seems like Israel's on the move, the state of Israel at least, and simultaneously they're hitting northern Syria and Lebanon. And I came across something this week just kind of looking at this stuff. And there's 9 identified military bases that have been set up in Syria now that belong to the IDF and the Jewish state over there that have been set up in the last few months. And I got to thinking about this, you know, with the Syrian civil war and all of that, what kind of planning and infrastructure would it take to set up 9 military bases in the course of about 8 weeks? That's pretty impressive. It seems like almost like it was planned. And they have set up in Syria, and they're on the border of Jordan, and it looks like they're going into Lebanon. And something that's interesting to me, and I'll just tie this together, I don't know if y'all have heard, I came across this late last night, but the United States has moved an entire aircraft carrier group to the island of Diego Garcia, which is off the east coast of Africa, which is right south of the Middle East there. And so we're moving a massive aircraft carrier group to the south, and Israel is moving to the north, and it sure looks like we're surrounding Iran. That's what it looks like. I didn't know if y'all have seen any of that.
I did not. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I did see that Russia had sent out a big warning not to attack nuclear sites in Iran. That it would be illegal, it would be considered an act of aggression toward them. I seen one go across my desk on that. So I imagine that would be related to that whole process there.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the things that, you know, I don't know how familiar y'all are with the Straits of Hormuz, but it's a channel there that huge, massive oil tankers move fuel and gas and oil through on a daily basis. And that was one of the things that was on my radar of, you know, what does this look like across the world as far as oil supplies and fuel prices across the world? Because if that flares up there off of Iran, we're definitely going to see that when it comes to the gas pumps worldwide, not just here in the United States. Sure looks like that's what's happening, though.
Yeah, my question is are we there to the north to prevent further incursion to the north, or, you know, to aid Israel in their business down there, the state?
Well, my belief as of now, Israel they've made it plain that they're not going to let Tehran, you know, as far as Iran, have a nuclear program, and it's been talked about for 10 years that they're going to shut that down. And I'm wondering, kind of the opposite, Tim, are we to the south to prevent anyone from coming to Iran's aid, there in the ocean, there in the sea? You know, at one time Russia had a massive naval presence there. And, that's what I'm wondering, is if we're shutting down that area of the Black Sea, or have the ability to shut the area down, to prevent the Russians from coming in to help Iran.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk about Iran, who are we talking about? I guess they've had a complete takeover and a change of power over there, right?
In Syria, for sure. Yeah, the Assad dynasty, Bashar al-Assad, they were westernized, really more than anything, agnostic government, and there has been a complete turnover of their government by really ISIS is what it is. They are fundamentalist jihadists that have taken over the country and completely changed the government. It is now a fundamentalist Muslim government. It went from being a westernized government to that. Something that hasn't really been reported, at least in our national news here. You're not going to catch it at on the 6 o'clock evening news, but there has been a massive purge of Christians, Orthodox Christians in Syria, which there was a huge number of, as well as, the Alawite Christians, which were, kind of a Coptic Christian, and they were also Muslim, but they've gone in and just purged those. And the numbers that I had read, was like 140,000 had been killed, with wow. maybe a couple of more million displaced. And it sure seems like we went from a westernized government that everyone coexisted to there's been a racial and religious genocide over the last 6 months. And now we see Israel moving in to the north. It seems weird to me. It seems like the standard playbook of the usual suspects of creating turmoil to and chaos so that you can establish new order out of it.
Yeah, justification for war or justification
That's right.
for yeah.
That's right.
Wow.
What I see is, you know, with these 9 military bases going into the north there in Syria, sure seems like a great stepping off point for Israel to attack Iran. That's what it seems like to me.
Interesting. Yeah, we know that they want to do that, and I mean they've wanted to do that for quite some time, I believe.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I mean, it's just, to me, it's like wars and rumors of wars, and, I seen another one that says Germany deploys troops to Russia's doorstep for the first time since the Nazis. The German military has begun its first permanent deployment of troops on foreign soil since World War II. The 45th Armored Brigade is being positioned in Lithuania near Russia. Russian allies... Belarus, as Berlin prepares for potential conflict in the coming years. I mean, that's I didn't realize that was the first time since World War II, but that I mean, to me, that's significant.
I think it's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Really.
That the interesting, there is once again stuff that we don't hear a lot, but there are countries like Lithuania and some of the NATO countries that are openly talking about they expect Russia to move into places like Poland and Lithuania by 2030. And you're saying those things, you're going out and putting it on record. You know, what do they know that we don't know? You know, that's pretty out there, right? You're putting it out for the masses to digest. Are they getting us used to the idea that in 5 years there's going to be a shooting war between Russia and all of these other former Russian states? I don't know. It just seems weird to me that Germany, and maybe Tim or Jason, y'all can explain this to me. I thought Germany was under a treaty.
That's what I thought, too.
World War II, that they were not allowed to deploy foreign troops or troops into foreign lands. Did that go away? I thought that was the whole idea of NATO, that we assured Germany that if they were in peril, that we and the other NATO states would come to assist them. I don't know. It seems weird to me that kind of came out of nowhere, and a massive amount of troops too. I think it's like 5,000.
5,000 is what I read. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That they're sending to Lithuania. I mean, that's odd to me.
Well, we know that whatever rule book or whatever quote unquote they play by, they kind of change it according to however whatever suits their purpose, you know. There's that's the way that works, it seems to be. Anyways,
well, it just seems like, I mean, yeah, with them, but I mean, with all these troops being moved around, I mean, and like you said, just in the last couple of weeks, moving them to 9 different parts of the country and setting up bases and stuff like that, that didn't happen overnight. That's stuff that's been in the works for a long time. I mean, they've been planning and putting together the logistics on that for, you know, quite some time. And if they're moving, if they're talking about moving 5,000 troops over there, you know, Germany, they've been working on that for a long time and putting that together. So to me, it's like there's a lot of stuff that's just coming to light that that we may not have known about. But to me, it just looks like it looks like they're putting a lot of pieces into a lot of different places. And I mean, call it like it is. I'm preparing for World War III. Is what it looks like to me.
Yeah, one of the things that I noticed, and this is just kind of a bit of a side note, but it's on the same, you know, stuff, is the fact that to date they have dropped, Israel has dropped over 85,000 tons of bombs on Gaza, which is, to put that into perspective, that's more than the amount of explosives used in World War II all over the world. I mean, yeah, and the other thing that is worth noting is the fact that we paid for all those bombs, because they don't have anything that we don't pay for. So, you know, we talk about all this stuff, but my father-in-law was in Germany during the reconstruction efforts, you know, after World War II there, and rebuilding, and I can remember him talking about the devastation that went on there. So this is a very concentrated area with more quantity tonnage-wise than World War II, which was scattered over a broad area. So that maybe helps grant a little perspective of what we're talking about in those areas as far as people and things going on.
That's a massive amount of ordnance, Tim. That is, I had not heard that figure, but that is staggering. That's something. You know, it may be a cynical take on it, but as you were saying that, I kind of chuckled to myself, and maybe I shouldn't admit that, but I thought to myself of the military-industrial complex, and I'm not sure bombs have an expiration date on them, but you can't make money off of old bombs. You got to get rid of them so you can make new ones, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
So you gotta shoot them in somebody. So it might as well be those guys, I guess.
Yeah, it gives new meaning to the word parking lot, I guess. But it's wow, that's a lot of tonnage. So
that is a lot of ordnance.
Well, and moving on to national news, I don't know if there's the big talk of the town, I guess about all that is on the news here. Well, I was kind of busy this week. We had a leach field that well, I'm busy all the time, but you had a leach field that ended up going out, had to spend quite some time taking care of that. The weather's been nice for about we've had really nice weather for 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden you go to start working outside and digging in the mud, and it starts raining and snowing. It's just, you know, kind of like Murphy's Law. But I'll tell you what, it's really nice when you have the tools to be able to do a job. I mean, it required digging with an excavator, digging up a ditch, hauling gravel, and just having, you know, the right tools and being able to do a job like that is such a blessing. And I tried not to complain about the weather, because everything went so smoothly and so perfectly that you really didn't have anything to complain about. Brother Josh, he's been on here several times on the radio with us, and he was out here. He was he called and said he was going to be coming through, and I said, well, you're coming at a perfect time, because I'm going to put you to work, and he wouldn't have had it any other way. But that's what we did, and we were working on that for a couple of days, and you know, it was just a real blessing to have the extra help, and I really appreciated that. But, you know, it didn't get into the news a whole lot this week. But what I did hear, you know, it just seems like if I, you know, turned on the radio and listened or looked at a newspaper, it was the tariffs. And it is, I guess that's the talk of the town. And, you know, some people are up in arms about it. Some people, but it's everybody's talking about it. What do you men think of the whole tariff things? And then, you know, then I'll chime in. I've got my ideas as well.
Go for it, Tim.
Well, I think that as we see these swings on this, I mean, you know, I'm looking at it too, and One article I seen talked about the fact that discomfort means it's working, and I think that what we're seeing is a swing from a a service economy to a back to a manufacturing agricultural economy, and we've gotten to this point where we think that somehow there's some kind of connect between Wall Street and the real world out here, and those people don't produce anything. They set monetary policy. They make money off of money. They don't really build things, you know. And they're it's a parasitic drain on the real economy. And in order to, there's going to be some great pain here as we try to swing things back to manufacturing and creation of actual items in our country. Because when we watch this go on, it's all been taken away. I told on the radio, this has been several years ago already, but there was a agricultural machine plant in Indiana down there, over there, and it was sold. And oh, they were going to leave the town with all the equipment and hire everybody, but it was bought by a Chinese concern. Well, that lasted about 6 months, and then they packed everything up and took it to China. And you had all this skilled labor left there in town going, what are we going to do for a job? And they were like, well, we can't open the plant back up because all this machinery, the guys who built this equipment that manufactures this stuff, they're all dead, retired. How do we do that? So we have to find it. We have to find that. And we have an environment, monetarily speaking, that is based on all this excessive debt and excessive interest and everything else. So finding the money to make this happen, and I'm talking about real money, I mean, or real wealth, is very difficult. And my opinion is it's not going to get better until the debt is eliminated. And I think that's where we're headed for. You've got to get these parasites out of the money business that, all they're interested in is their interest and their payments. And whenever I see the Dow and all these guys crying their eyes out, I just chuckle. It's like, well, you know, you guys, they're ring. That's that Revelations story about them wringing their hands about the fact that, it's all gone. You know, they don't have those abilities anymore. The reality is it's going back to smaller businesses that actually make things, that actually are consistently, capable of producing products with the ability to do so in a manner that is efficient. So that's kind of where, that's a nutshell, I guess, for me.
I can't compete with what Tim just said as far as the content, but I just from I've been thinking about these tariffs going along with what Tim was saying as far as we used to be a manufacturing and agricultural based economy in this country, and that's what created the wealth in this country. That's what gave us all the prosperity that this country enjoyed. And I just remember being a very young man and walking into a Walmart, and I mean like 6-7 years old, and seeing proudly the signs displayed made in the USA. And not only that, there would be little almost like index cards next to the pair of blue jeans or whatever, and it told you what plant it came from in Mississippi, and it was grown with Mississippi cotton and that sort of thing. And that wasn't that long ago. That was the 1980s. And it feels like to me that is the move that we're making, that we're headed back in the right direction. And with President Trump and Make America Great Again and that sort of thing, it seems like that's where we're going, is back to that type of pride, that type of manufacturing. I know I think it was yesterday it came out that General Motors announced that they're ramping up production of the 1500 series GMCs and Chevrolets up in Indiana, and all of those jobs that were in Mexico are moving back to the United States now.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't that what we want? You know, we've sat around and complained over coffee with our friends and our our brothers and sisters that, you know, this just isn't America anymore. You know, I think about the Carl Klang song, you know, where have all the jobs went? You know, the homelessness and all that. So you hear these people that are complaining of, you know, this is going to be 20% more, 25% more, and it will be. It's going to be until we start producing it here again. And sometimes the only way that you can get that ball across the finish line is to force it. And I think that is what's going on, that we are forcing. This administration realizes the only way we're going to get this done is to slit the throat of those people that want to keep us in debt. And obviously, I mean figuratively slit the throat, but of keep us in debt, perpetual debt, so that they can enrich themselves. And what you will see once we go back to that strong agricultural, that strong manufacturing economy, is welfare will go away. There will be that robust middle class again of people that can, you know, a husband that can go to work and actually provide for his family with a woman staying home. I don't think that is history. I think that is history in the making. I think we will see that coming back. And I would just encourage the folks out there listening to us, pray for our leaders, like you've never prayed for them before, that they won't succumb to pressure, that they will stay steadfast in this and move our country back to where we need to be.
Yes, I agree 100%. And I think that's, I mean, and it's not going to be easy. I mean, you start over and it, you know, you got to open up mines and you got to set up factories and start building stuff. That sort of thing don't happen overnight. And it takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of equipment. It takes a lot. But I mean, I think that's what is going to make America great again. Is, well, I mean, number one, first and foremost, is turning people's hearts and minds back to our Heavenly Father. We know, and that's what we need to be, continue to remember that and pray for that. But, you know, we used to be one of the, you know, largest production countries in the world. We used to export. I mean, the thing about it is we were the largest exporters at one point in time, and now we were the biggest consumers and importers. You know, things have went. They've been going south for a long time. I look at these.
Literally.
Yeah, exactly. Tariffs, and I didn't realize until just recently, like, you know, people are complaining about the tariffs, and we're charging China 34%. They've been charging us 67% on import of goods from the United States into China. The European Union was charging 39%. We're charging them 20%. We're giving them a discount on everything. Everything that they charge, we're about 50% of what they charge as far as the tariffs go. And also, you look at the trade deficit. I mean, I looked it up, and I don't know. You wouldn't think that it'd be that hard to figure out. But if you look at the trade deficits from 2023, I mean, I got pages of different numbers. But, you know, anywhere from $500 billion to almost $100 billion is what it looks like. That's $100 billion, you know, average, you know, $700 billion that was a deficit from us exporting goods in the United States, from the United States to other countries. So I think it's definitely a good thing. It's going to cost, I mean, your Carhartts or your, you know, the stuff that you're going to buy, you're going to pay a little bit more for. I'm not sure exactly, you know, how much it's going to affect, but these people are going to, I mean, these companies are going to have to be competitive as well. And, yeah, we'll see. I mean, like, you know, places like, we call it Tractor Supply, but I call it China Supply. It's, you go in there and just about everything. I mean, it's a Chinese owned company. It's a Chinese owned, almost everything in there. It comes from China. And I really, you know, have been trying for a long time, whenever possible, you know, buy American, buy stuff that's made here in the USA, even if it costs a little bit more. And, you know, it's amazing to me of how many people just want the cheap garbage. And what I've noticed is, you know, like the auto parts that I can get that are made in the United States, generally they are more expensive. 10 to 20% more than you can get, you know, if you're talking about a water pump or an alternator or a starter. But like 99.9% of the time, you're getting a better product. You're getting something that's going to last at least two or three times as long, if not 5 to 10 times as long. You're getting a better quality. You're getting a better product. You're getting something that's going to last, and it's a lot better quality. And to me, that's worth spending a little bit of extra money on. And I think I think that there is a lot of these places, which I think that businesses like that that are, you know, are manufacturing auto parts in the United States. Just that little, these tariffs are going to be where, you know, people are going to, it's going to make the U.S. stuff cheaper and more more economically friendly to them. Does that make sense?
Well, when you make the cheap stuff more expensive, it's not so cheap anymore, and there's no incentive to buy it. And it makes total sense, Jason. It makes total sense. And I got, before we change the subject on this, I want to say to the folks listening, it's to me, the way I'm thinking about this hurting is it's like starting exercising. You've been sitting on the couch for years doing nothing and you just become bone idle and you make up your mind and decide, I'm going to get physically fit. Well, it hurts. It's work. You're working muscles that haven't been worked in decades. And you're firing up the machine again to burn fat and to metabolize those calories. But the end result is worth it. You become healthier. You become leaner. You move around better. You're just a better quality human. Really, that's what we're doing. We have been bone idle as a nation. We've been sitting around on the couch. We've been letting someone else do the work for us. And what is happening is we're cranking up the machine again. We're getting up, we're moving, we're working, we're fighting, and the end result is we will be a better, leaner, healthier country. And if no one wants that, shame on us, because that should be all of our prayers. And I hope to that end that the remnant will be praying for that. It's going to hurt. We're going to move muscles that haven't been moved in years, but by golly, it's time. So that's kind of my parting shot on it.
No, and I agree 100%. And I've thought about it a lot is, you know, if we don't get this thing figured out real quick, I mean, I'm thinking about my children and what they're going to have to grow up in and what they're going to have to grow up with and my grandchildren and my great grandchildren. And this is the path that I want to be on. I want to be here starting and doing my part to be able to give them a better future. I want them to have good jobs and you know, I'm not about it by any means. It's like, I, you know, don't want my children to go on off to college or to get indoctrinated or anything like that. But I want them to get in and learn trades and be tradesmen and, to be able to work and have good jobs. And I think this is part of it, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited about a lot of the stuff that I see. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, you just don't know. It's like, okay, and time will tell. But I believe that this is, you know, a part of 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it's coming to pass. And our Heavenly Father is definitely working. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. And options, purchasing options equal freedom and competitive pricing. So as those things, I mean, can, you know, you remember it used to be like, well, do I want Craftsman? Do I want S&K? Do I want Snap-on? You know, today you're hard pressed to find even one option made in the U.S., let alone multiples. And, you know, there's just, the truth of the matter is, whether it's an individual or a country, if you don't have options, you don't have true freedom, because you're on your knees at someone else's, you know, good feelings as far as what they're going to give you or what you're able to get a hold of. So, you want freedom, you want financial stability, you've got to be capable of doing that at home in its entirety. So there's a reason monopolies are a bad thing.
And, you know, along those lines, Tim, freedom isn't free. You know, we got to work for it and labor for it, and it may hurt, but if that's what you want, you have to be willing to pay the price. And sometimes the price is just uncomfortableness. So I agree with you 100%.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. It is. Time will tell, but I don't know. I think that that's it, exactly what we need to be doing is just, you know, is to keep it in prayer. Phone number to call in, 970-224-4203. That's 970-224-4203. We'll move on. I guess, I don't know, I seen a deal that came across my desk that talked about a improvised explosive device found near the White House. That's about all I heard on that. Any updates on that? Anybody know anything about it? I know the bomb squad and Secret Service were out there, but other than that, that's what I know.
I know it was very near the White House. I don't pretend to know the layout of that area very well, but I know it was within line of sight of the White House. Don't know anything other than what you just said. The bomb squad showed up and removed it. It was a serious enough threat that they put all hands on deck like it was the real thing. But I have seen no follow-up since then.
Okay. All right. Yeah, fair enough. I just didn't know anything. And then moving on, President Trump celebrates the passage of Wisconsin Voter ID Amendment as a big win for Republicans. That was up in Wisconsin. Anybody know anything about that?
I think the way I understand it is, you're going to have to, apparently in Wisconsin, you didn't have to prove that you were actually a citizen or a resident of Wisconsin to vote. So that has changed now where you're going to have to show that you are a lawful citizen of the state of Wisconsin and the United States with a photo ID in order to vote. And I think that's day of voting. It's not just to register. I think when you go to vote, you're going to have to produce that.
And just a side note, what's wrong with that? I mean, you know, we've lived, they've watered down our general populace with all these illegal aliens and everything, and they're wanting to do, they want to get rid of that. It seems to me that, that's a fair requirement. I mean, it's like, well, how can you prove that you belong here or that you should do that?
It's weird to me that has to become a law. It seems like common sense, but I guess it's hard to put it in a law. Yeah.
We live in a time when there's so much misinformation, disinformation. I mean, we've got people driving cars that have no idea on the rules of the road. I mean, they can't speak English. They can't read it. I think that... we probably need to maybe keep track of some of those sort of things if we don't want to end up with stolen elections in a stolen country. I mean, it's kind of one of those details. And I think that how else are you going to assure that you have integrity in your vote as far as that goes? I mean,
isn't that the whole idea of the opposition, though, Tim, is they don't want there are those that don't want integrity in the voting. That's why there are those that are opposed to this. To me, like I said, the common sense thing, you and I are talking about this and we both shake our head and say, yeah, that just makes sense. We have to question those people who tell us, no, it can't be that way. That makes no sense at all. If you hear that, if that's the opposition, you have to stop and scratch your head and say, what do they want that is different from what I want? And obviously we know the answer to that, and that's shenanigans. They want shenanigans so that they can make it go their way.
Well, and I think that it even broadcasts on out into the rest of our, what we've been talking about all morning is a lack of integrity in every single thing. As followers of God, we are to have integrity. And, I grant you that probably that, vocabulary, you know, the definition of that word probably has some differences to some people, but the bottom line is without, they want it, they want a total destruction of integrity across the board. They want to change the rules whenever they want. They want to They want to the money system not to have any integrity. They want the trade system not to have any integrity. They, you know, it's like they don't want the borders to have any integrity. I mean, it's a total, really, if you sum it up, it's a lack of integrity all the way across the board for them. It's like, wow. So we'll just change it into what we want.
Thinking about that real fast as far as integrity, it always makes me think of good and evil and evil and good. And you're 100% right, Tim. And I look at integrity as doing the right thing at the right time for the right reasons. The difference is our right is their wrong, and their wrong is our right. And that's, we have to be conscious of that and mindful of that and always be in prayer that the Lord goes before us, because if not, we are living in the results of that now.
Yes, absolutely. It reminds me of the Bible verse, 2 Corinthians 5, 14, 15. It says, for the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose on their behalf. And that's kind of a description of that integrity. If you take that apart and analyze it, you get the, you know, it's like, we don't live for ourselves. We try to, what would Jesus do, you know? What does God want me to do? So
that's right.
It's not always an easy question. you know, so it is, and the answer is easy too, but that doesn't mean you're going to like it all the time, as far as
that's right.
What the old man wants.
Yeah, well, and moving on, we got a lot of content still to cover yet today, but supporters call on Idaho lawmakers to override governor's veto of a bill prohibiting medical mandates, and this one was interesting. I guess, and to me, it's interesting about how, I mean, you think about how things have changed so much just recently. How, you know, a couple of years ago, people were losing their jobs left and right because they wouldn't take a jab. People are running around in masks all over the place. Couldn't go into a restaurant without a mask or a grocery store. You know, we protested as much as we possibly could during that time, but still there was a lot of places that, I got kicked out of a lot of places for not wearing a mask. And, I remember one of the guys at, Home Depot, he just shook his head and finally just waved me in the store. I was trying to go in the store and, you know, he's telling me to put a mask on. They had somebody standing by the door telling you to put a mask on. And I just said no, and he's like, it's the law. And I said, no, it's a mandate. And I said, there's a difference between a mandate and a law. And he's like, no, it's the law. And I'm like, no, it's a mandate. And I'm like, you better educate yourself, because there is a difference between a mandate and a law. And we went around and around, and finally he's just, you know, he tried to get in front of me and tried to stop me, and finally he just stepped aside and waved me in. And, you know, it was definitely, and then, you know, then you get into the store and there's people that are looking at you funny. I mean, they're looking at you quite differently when you're not wearing the mask. And there's people that it was interesting to me, because there was definitely the people, it was definitely a separation of goats and sheep and tares and wheat and kindred spirits and non-kindred spirits, because there was people that looked at me and you could tell there was just, I mean, hatred, and they would give you that evil eye and they're looking at you like, you know, you're Satan himself. And then there's other people that just would get you could see it in their eyes that they were smiling and they liked seeing somebody that was just protesting and saying no. And there was several times where I would be, you know, at the checkout line or something and get out there and, you know, I didn't have a mask on, and the person that was helping me just pulled their mask down off of their face. And I had one gal and she just pulled her mask down, and she's like, it is just so nice to see a friendly face. And it was and that's one of the things that that I remember is you couldn't see anybody smile. There was you couldn't see people's facial expressions, and it was rather disturbing. Now I know I got off on that, and that's not the direction that I wanted to go, but it was just a side note. how we had so many of these mandates from state to state that were not law, but were mandates, and, you know, affected where people could work and where they couldn't. And so from what I understand, this law was, and people were calling it basically, well, it was freedom of something law. I can't remember the name of it, but they wanted it to basically to have freedom to choose. And it was a bill that would prohibit all medical mandates in the state of Idaho. And it was, I don't know, do you guys know anything about that, the logistics or how that actually would work?
I know, I read Idaho Medical Freedom Act, and my understanding of it is it took away all of the mandates from, like, the public school systems, the colleges, the universities,
right.
Any type of public employer, like hospitals or whatever, that said people have the right to decide if they want to be vaccinated or wear a mask or whatever. And you can't punish them by firing them or censuring them or whatever if they choose not to do this. And the interesting part about this to me was, and I don't pretend to know Idaho politics, Jason, you probably know better than me, but the House of Representatives and the State Senate both passed this. With a majority.
Exactly.
If we want this to be the law of the state of Idaho. And so it wasn't hotly contested. It was a popularly approved law, duly approved law, and the governor of Idaho said, nope, we're not doing that.
And vetoed it.
And he vetoed it. So what's going on now is, I guess, the checks and balance there is, I guess they have to have a supermajority that the House of Representatives can come back and vote to overthrow that veto, but it doesn't look like they're going to have the numbers. But that's the gist of it. Like I said, I don't know if the guy, what party he belongs to. I don't know his politics, but I can just, from what I read in the article, I can sure guess him by how he vetoed this bill.
Yeah, and that's what I gathered as well. And I mean, I know that those bills that they were and that Freedom of Medical Act, Idaho Medical Freedom Act, it was a big hot topic over the state of Idaho, and I mean, people wanted it. And I mean, there's a lot of people that's what they want to do is move to Idaho because of all the freedoms that they can have and they can get there. And yep, and then they got a governor like this. But you really don't hear much out of the governor of Idaho anyway. I mean, I tried to look at some of the stuff that he has done, and he's not real popular, and he really doesn't do a whole lot. So maybe it's time that Idaho gets a new governor.
He may not be popular. Go ahead, Tim.
It just makes you wonder how he got in there. I mean, you know, when you see... Right. When you see this kind of action, it always makes me scratch my head and go, how did Brad Little get in there when they have a, you know, a house like they have? Go ahead, Bill.
Now, my smart aleck comment goes along with both of what y'all are saying is he's probably not real popular among the people, but I bet he's loved by Big Pharma and the vaccine makers.
Yeah. Well, those guys usually are.
Yeah.
Another comment that would support that remark, well, is the fact that the WHO just came out, you know, World Health Organization, I always makes me laugh that they are kind of like that owl, and that owl symbol, if you look into it, goes back into a lot of the one worlders. But anyways, the WHO came out with they want to make all vaccines mRNA vaccines now, and we've talked about the detrimental effects of mRNA vaccines and how it changes the human biome and DNA and everything else. So this is another hot button topic that plays into this probably.
Well, and this is a side note, and it's off subject, but it was a meme the other day, and it said January 1st, 1971 was the last time that a cigarette commercial was aired on television or radio, and they were talking about the Smoking Act of 1969 that went into effect in 71, and it was and it said, you know, let's make the last vaccine commercials aired and it had a date on it for here in the United States, and quit talking about the vaccines and the inoculations. And I thought that that was just, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, people were looking to these vaccines for their, to be their savior. And if you didn't get this vaccine, you were going to die. And just how there's just been a shift as far as that, and how just about every direction that you look, you can find anti-vaxxers. And somebody asked me the other day, it's like, okay. And it was like one of these hush, hush, quiet, you know, things that, are you an anti-vaxxer? And I'm like, I just laughed and I said, well, we were anti-vaxxers before anti-vaxxers were cool. It was, I said, I've never been vaccinated. My wife's never been vaccinated. Our children haven't been vaccinated. And they looked at me and they're like, even you and your wife? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, your parents must have been crazy back in the day. And I'm like, well, yeah, they were. They were a little bit different.
They were just crazy before their time.
Dude. Exactly. And,
yeah, and here I am.
doubt.
Nothing killed me yet. Praise God. But it's just, you know, how some of the stuff is, and some of the stuff that we've been talking about is, you know, I mean, we've talked about there's nothing new under the sun, and there's these revolutions and these, you know, times that and ages, I guess, that come and go. And it's just, to me, it is definitely exciting times. When you see, we've been talking about vaccinations. This ministry has been putting out the dangers of vaccinations for 40 years. Now it's becoming widely accepted and actually the normal. That's just, praise the Lord for that. That's awesome.
Amen.
Well, and it costs, you know, some of the guys who are, whatever you want to call it, frontline responders in this, they've been aggravated or frustrated by this jump of people who are jumping on the bandwagon now that it's more popular or more easily accessible. And they're like, well, you know, I say, welcome on board. We've got jackets. You know, I'm glad to see you.
Yes.
I'm glad to see you get here. But there is a certain degree of truth to that, in that when you're a trailblazer, so to speak, or you're doing it God's way and you see the truth, it costs you. All you got to do is open your Bible to find out those men that stood for God throughout the Bible. He gives us multiple examples of the fact that they stood up and were counted. And but it also was for the good of the people in a whole. For the whole, you know, for God's people, the benefits were great, and but welcome to the new ones. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, well, we got to move on. We got a lot of content that I want to try to get in. We'll try to get in what we can. We'll go down next to you, your neck of the woods. I know that there was some Dallas residents that were really unhappy about this new 400 acre. Islamic compound is what I'm going to, you know, I would call it an Islamic jihadist compound, but I don't know exactly what that's about. But I guess, some of the people down there are saying, hey, this isn't going to go good with us. This is going to clash culturally with the American values. Mm-hmm. What do you know about that?
Yeah, the real quick on this, I don't know if it's making national news, but it certainly should. So Dallas, the Metroplex in Dallas is just gigantic and huge, and this is actually in Collin County, which is Plano, east of Dallas, and it's a group of investors. We don't know who they are. It's fairly private, but we know that they've bought up about 400 acres, and they are building something called the East Plano Islamic Center, or EPIC. And they are inside this compound. I mean, it's a fenced compound. They're planning on at least 1,000 homes, their own Sharia Islamic school, a shopping center that is Sharia compliant with the halal meat markets and that sort of thing. Essentially, they're building a country of Sharia adherence inside this 400-acre compound, and they're isolating themselves off and that sort of thing. And quite frankly, there's just a lot of people in that area that are pissed. They're ticked off trying to figure out who allowed this, who permitted this, why are we doing this? If we're trying to make Texans and Americans, why are we allowing them to have this in the midst of every day? They're not assimilating. They're not going. They're not using our schools. They're not doing any of this. So there were hundreds of people that lined up to address the commissioner's court in Collin County this week, and none of them were happy. That's the gist of it, and rightfully so. You guys may know more than me. I don't know of anything else like this in the country. I know there's large Muslim populations in Michigan and that sort of thing, but I don't know of any that have a walled-off compound that are, in addition to this, too, I forgot this, they're even talking about having their own utility district. So they have their own water, their own power, their own sewage, and all of that. So they're not even dependent on a city district to provide services to them.
Wow. That is something. That sounds like some white ring survivalist crazy people or something like that.
Yeah. Something like that.
I don't know.
The federal government has come down and shut those things down, but apparently this one's okay.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I know I had heard bits and pieces about this, and I went and looked, tried to find it on the news, and I could find it in some local stuff, and the same thing, that same article that you're talking about. But as far as national coverage or anything, to me, I was really shocked that I couldn't find hardly anything on it. So,
well, something else to keep in mind, kind of like we were talking about with Israel and the strategy and the planning behind this, take that into your mind of how much that's costing. Who is financing this? Of schools and shopping centers and 1,000 homes and a utility district where you're providing your own water and power within this compound. That's a boatload of money and a boatload of planning. So obviously this has been in the works for a while.
That is definitely interesting.
Yes, sir.
Well, and then also down there in your neck of the woods, Venezuelan gangs getting rounded up, getting arrested. That's exciting and a good thing from what I see.
Yeah, and I can shed a little light on that just for everybody's edification. This actually happened in Hays County, which is San Marcos, and that's along the I-35 corridor between Austin and San Antonio. And, it's just a kind of one big megaplex between Austin and San Antonio along that I-35 corridor. And Department of Public Safety, Hays County Sheriff's Office, some of the federales, they rounded up 40 members of the TDA Venezuelan gang that were all along that area. And at least here in the state of Texas, what we're hearing or what we're seeing or what it appears to be at least is the move has gone from the border to where they're – the feds, through Tom Homan and the Department of Homeland Security, are partnering up with local law enforcement, and they're going into the population centers, and they're going into places like Houston and San Antonio and Austin, and where these illegals have dug in like ticks, and they're rooting them out, and they're rounding them up. And I feel like that's probably what we'll start seeing across the United States.
Interesting. Wow.
Let's hope so.
You know, and yeah, exactly. And it's amazing of how fast. I mean, I hadn't heard of this Venezuelan gang, this trend. How do you say it?
Trende Awagua.
Okay, Trende Awagua. Anyway, but just until probably a year ago, and then started realizing that they.